Coming up, Haynes leaders wrestle with hazardous Lutac dock and a new schedule for timber sales in the Haynes State Forest. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. Haynes leaders are trying to figure out what to do about a key piece of infrastructure that engineers say is living on borrowed time. Lutac Dock is a crucial port for freight and fuel entering the community. Stakeholders came together to review some new options this week, but they didn't come to any final conclusions. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
There's one thing everyone could agree on. The highest priority is safety.
I think we can do whatever we can do to make it safe as fast as possible.
Heavy on the safety angle, because this assessment report scares the bejesus out of me.
Every person with knowledge and the ability to analyze the situation that's been asked to give us an opinion has said, you're on borrowed time. So I don't want to be managing a crisis where we've got death and destruction that we're trying to deal with, and then say, oh, well, yeah, by the way, we need to repair the dock.
That was Assemblymember Brenda Josephson, Port and Harbor Advisory Committee member Diana Lapham, and Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel. Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan reviewed where the borough stands and what the new possibilities are. He said borough administration is recommending a planned closure of the face of the dock within about 24 months.
We really, as staff, want to go forward with shutting the face of that dock down. We're worried about it. We think people are going to look at us. The condition report says this thing's beyond its life, and we don't want to keep putting people out there.
Last year, R&M consultants brought forward alternatives for replacing the dock. Costs range from $21 million to $62 million. Engineers say the dock is, quote, nearing the end of its useful life. In October, the borough asked R&M to prepare a condition assessment report of the roll-on, roll-off portion of the facility. Engineers prepared options for repair and replacement of that part of the dock. Three options were considered at the February meeting. The first would include renovating the existing structure. Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan said that option can happen sooner, but the design is not ideal, and it wouldn't have as long a life as the others. But the price is right at about $10 million. A second option would mean removing the existing structure and creating a new roll-on, roll-off ramp at the dock face, with an about $12.4 million price tag. Ryan said that is a longer life expectancy, but would also involve some loss of uplands, and it's the most expensive. The final option would involve a new causeway. It would also mean building new facilities. It has a $10 million cost and wouldn't result in loss of uplands, but it would take longer than the cheaper option. This design is preferred by borough staff and Alaska Marine Lines. Here's Manager Schnabel.
I really want to have my community be using the technology of our time and meet the needs that other clients that come into the community would like to have and need to use.
The Port and Harbor Advisory Committee favors option one at this point in time. Terry Pardee is the committee chair. He said their choice was motivated by three things: functionality, cost, and safety, with safety being the primary concern.
Everybody wants a nice, shiny, brand new dock that's going to last 50 years. You don't have to do anything to it for a while. But that's not the situation we're in right now, and we're not going to get that built anytime soon.
Delta Western's Fred Gray said he falls in line with the port committee. The sentiment of many in the room was similar. The $10 million design is ideal, but it makes sense to go with the cheaper, faster design that can ensure safety sooner. But Planning Commissioner Jeremy Stevens pushed back. He said it's true safety is the first priority.
And so I'm not convinced going with number one now to get number four later is the right way to go. All we're doing is spending 20% of our budget that we would have had for number four.
Schnabel said she'll take the information generated at the meeting under consideration and continue working with staff and stakeholders toward next steps. In Haynes, I'm Abby Collins.
Haynes' state forester has been hard at work outlining possible timber harvests in the Haynes State Forest over the next 5 years. Now he's looking for feedback. A new 5-year management schedule for the Haynes State Forest was released earlier this month. The document lays out specific areas where timber could be harvested before 2022.
Sort of the first opportunity for that feedback from the public on what they want on public lands in the Haynes State Forest.
Greg Palmieri is Haynes' forester. It's his responsibility to put together the schedule. But what exactly is that? The forest has a larger management plan set up by the state that gives a big picture view. It shows all the areas where timber could ever hypothetically be harvested. The schedule is the first step toward making a harvest a reality by identifying specific areas that could be cut in the next 5 years. But just because a parcel appears on the schedule isn't a guarantee a sale will happen.
There's nothing in this plan that's a decision being made by this document. It's purely a scoping document. As we move forward with any particular project, it has the rest of the public process that's out in front of it before anything can be sold.
Most of the parcels in the last 5-year plan were combined into the Baby Brown timber sale, Palmieri says. It was put out for bid last year, but the state canceled a deal after a local conservation group challenged a procedural issue with the sale.
In our situation here, there hasn't been a tremendous amount of activity in any of this development.
The state corrected the flaw, and Baby Brown is back on this year's schedule. At 20 million board feet, it's the largest potential sale. All the others are 10 million or less. There are a few potential sites that haven't appeared on a schedule before, Palmieri says. That includes 2 parcels totaling about 15 million board feet near Chilkat Lake and 1 near Canyon Creek, about 9 miles from the Mosquito Lake Junction. There are also many small miscellaneous sales. Palmieri says those would provide wood to local businesses.
You know, the local operators really can't finance the road construction portion of the larger sale or market that much of the volume. So the miscellaneous sales, you know, literally provide for the local purchasers.
The location of those sales aren't decided in advance. Local businesses can negotiate where they'd like to cut with Palmieri. If every project in the schedule was fully developed, more than 50 million board feet of timber could be sold across 1,600 acres. Palmieri estimates it would also include more than 28 miles of new logging roads. Also in the schedule, a recreation section. Palmieri says he knows there's been interest in public use cabins in the past.
Not necessarily frequent or consistent, it still has been there. Most recently, there was some interest in the development of a site on Tuxedo Ridge.
He has some reconnaissance efforts planned to figure out possible locations, but says he probably won't sit down with management to plan something in earnest until there's clear support of a specific project. That could take the form of public comments on the management schedule. People have until March 15th to submit comments on all the elements of the plan, from commercial logging and road building to recreation. For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for listening this evening.